Good evening. My name is Nancy Winder, and I'm the pastor in the Village. And welcome to our weekly celebration of the Eucharist, this gathering of our word and sacrament that gives shape to our life in this village. For our worship tonight, you should have a copy of Evangelical Lutheran Worship, the Cranberry Book, and also this liturgy, Unfailing Light. This was a liturgy especially written for communities that have worship in the evening, around, have Eucharist in the evening. It's lovely and easy to catch on to as you sing along if you've never done it before. So it'll be pretty straightforward as we go along. We'll tell you which pages we are on, and then we'll have hymns, a couple hymns from the ELW. Everyone is welcome to the communion table. There will be three lines around three sides of the altar. In each line, the first person has bread. The second person has a chalice of wine. The third person has a basket of small pottery glasses. And you can take one of those if you prefer to drink from a cup. Take one of those. And the first pitcher is a pitcher of wine. And then there is a pitcher of grape juice, and then a basket to receive your used pottery cup. If you are also very welcome, if you prefer not to receive, to come for a blessing. Just cross your arms like this when you come to someone who has bread, or just let them know that you would like a blessing. Parents with children, it's very helpful to us if you let us know your children's preferences when you come to the table, what their practice is at the communion table. We take an offering on Sunday nights, and our offering, and it goes away from the village, and our offering this summer has been to go to scholarships at the Lutheran Seminary Program of the Southwest, which is one of three seminaries in the ELCA that have what's called TEAM candidates. That's Theological Education for Emergent Ministries. And at LSPS, they especially have Latino and Latina candidates. And these scholarships are going to support pastoral candidates in Latino congregations here in the Pacific Northwest. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for us to support those new and thriving congregations. And if you wish to write a check, please write it to Holden Village. We begin on page 20. In Unfailing Light with Confession and Forgiveness, and it will be led from the font. Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed be God, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and rich in love. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor punish us according to our guilt. Therefore, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Have mercy, O God. Against you, you alone have we sinned. In your compassion, cleanse us from our sin and take away our guilt.
Create in us a new heart and give us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away, but fill us with your Holy Spirit and restore your joy within us.
As tender as parent to child, so gentle is God with you. As high as heaven is above the earth, so vast is God's love for you. As far as east is from west, so far God removes your sin from you, renewing your life through Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, who crowns us with mercy and love.
Blessed be God forever.
We are on page 4.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, you reach out to call all nations to your reign of healing and love. As you gather disciples from near and far, count us also among those who boldly confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Choir.
A reading from Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this evening is number 103. You'll find that in your red ELW, just before the hymns. Tonight we're going to read that together, verses 1 through 8. Those of you who identify with odd numbers will read the odd numbers. Those of you who identify with even numbers will read the even numbers. Number 103. Psalm number 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow of anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You will not always accuse us, nor will you.
Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time the heavenly voice shook the earth, but now has promised. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a dominion that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When Jesus laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Jesus, stay with us now, for it is evening and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and shine on your people here. Amen. There is a very old tradition about the writer of tonight's gospel, St. Luke. According to that tradition, Luke was a physician. Well, friends, that's just not the way it was, because Luke was a bartender. Gee, Tom, you ask, how can you be so sure? Gee, Tom, how can you be so sure? Thank you for asking. It takes one to know one, and I was a bartender for many, many years, and I know it in my inmost being. Now, I know that some of you may not want to make an investment in Tom's inmost being, so I'm going to supply you with other proof. First, Luke knows a lot of stories, and nobody hears more stories than a bartender. Trust me. There are only two other vocations where people hear a lot of stories, and I've ruled both of those out through many hours of scholarship and burning of midnight oil, which is not approved about here at Holden Village. One is cab driver, for the obvious reasons, and the other is hairstylist. Luke was not a hairstylist. Second proof, in telling the gospel story,
Luke, like any good bartender, serves up the same cocktail with variations time and again. Tonight's gospel text is one of Luke's standard cocktails, and here are the ingredients. Mixed together, Jesus, one or more religious leaders, a crowd, and a person in need of healing, and do this on the Sabbath day, and bang, Molotov cocktail. There will be an explosion, and we've seen it all before, so let's walk around this text a little bit and see what's going on. Tensions over proper Sabbath behavior have plagued Jesus from the start. It's on a Sabbath day in Luke 4 when Jesus gives his first sermon that his neighbors want to throw him over the cliff. On a subsequent Sabbath day, religious leaders confront Jesus because he's allowing his disciples to pick and eat grain. On another Sabbath day, the religious leaders plot to harm him when he heals a man with a shriveled hand. On a Sabbath day, following the events of this text in chapter 14, those leaders silently fume when Jesus heals a man who is suffering from dropsy. Jesus is not keeping the Sabbath day holy. Thanks be to God. On the Sabbath to which our text refers, Jesus, like so many other rabbis, is teaching in one of the synagogues. This woman shows up. She has been crippled for 18 years. In Eugene Peterson's vivid imagery, she is so twisted and bent over that she can't even look up. And her condition is not caused by her having tripped over a bottle of champagne at some party years ago. This woman has an evil spirit. 18 years. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but if I get a cold for 4 days, believe you me, I'm questioning the existence of God and the divine mercy. I mean, really, don't you think she would have given up all hope by now? Maybe she has. What kind of God permits this kind of thing to happen? We think that's such a 21st century question, but that's been around a long time. Why even bother to go on living like that? But here she is. So one of the miracles that we are allowed to savor in this story tonight is that for whatever reason, this woman shows up. Jesus sees her and stops in the middle of his sermon and calls her over. Woman, you are set free from your ailment. This woman, who has not asked Jesus for anything, stands up straight and begins praising God. All hell breaks loose. For her, quite literally, but also in the synagogue. The leader of the temple, and don't you just love him? This guy is right out of central casting. I mean, would be funny if he wasn't so nasty. What does he do? He addresses the crowd. That's important. Not Jesus. He addresses the crowd. Go away! Go away! There's 6 days for work and a cure, and today just doesn't happen to be one of them. Go away. Now, isn't that a curious thing? Maybe this is another miracle in this story. These people actually show up in church expecting something to happen. Has that ever happened to you? And then the senior pastor tells them to leave. And speaking of the crowd, aren't they just too precious? Don't you just love them? What a day brightener. They're loving this. They are delighted. Oh, look how the mighty have fallen. Give it to them, Jesus. And in short order, this same group will only know one song whose first verse is, "Crucify him." So all this has me wondering to myself, is there anyone in this story who is not possessed of an evil spirit? Is there anyone in this story who is not in need of healing? Yes. Those of you who attended Michael's Bible studies last week have in this story a picture of something he talked about over and over again. Evil will always use something good. Evil will always use the law to condemn us and to attack God. The leader of the synagogue uses the laws of Sabbath, which was a gift, to try and shame and condemn the crowd, the woman, and Jesus. And isn't it a sorry fact that so much of this kind of stuff is coming out of pulpits today? There are people out there who want to make you believe that the gospel is really all about keeping things holy. It's all about behavior. Turn on the TV and you can watch people like Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, and Benny Hinn tell you that God wants to prosper your life, and all you have to do is make the decision to upgrade your Christianity, all of which is preceded by the word if. If only you didn't doubt so much and had more faith, God could use you. If only you prayed more, God could use you. If only you would give your life to Jesus, God could use you. And if only you make a generous donation and buy some of my tapes, well, you can go right ahead and pull the handle on God's big slot machine of blessings, because you are going to hit the jackpot. These folks are doing the exact opposite of what Isaiah talked about in the first reading. They are putting the yoke on, not taking the yoke off. Isaiah uses the word if a lot too. If you will feed the hungry, if you will help the needy and afflicted, your light will shine. Pastor Dan Erlander, a great friend of this ministry, is like me, a watcher of TV evangelists. We both like to know what the enemy is up to. Dan told me when we were having a conversation this summer that he has a new liturgical practice. And I said, "Well, gosh, Dan, what's that?" He says, "Well, when I'm watching these people, you know what I do now? I walk up to the TV set and I make the sign of the cross. And then I say out loud, 'Not the gospel. Not the gospel.'" No, Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh, has come not to make you a better person. He has come to redeem your life, all of it. No matter what we have done, no matter how we have messed up our own lives or somebody else's lives, all of it has been covered on the cross of Jesus Christ. And we can give up having so much fun decorating and enjoying our prisons. God is not wringing his hands, waiting for us to turn our lives over to him. We can no more give our lives to Jesus than this woman could have stood up straight. And didn't Luther nail that one right on the head in the third article of the Creed? "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him, but rather the Holy Spirit has called us, enlightened us, and gathered us. He took our lives with him to the cross while we were yet sinners, when we couldn't even stand up straight. And then the risen Jesus moves in on us and takes up residence in our lives hidden in Christ. This Jesus comes to us in our fear, in our depression, in our guilt, in our doubt, no matter where we are, in our ho-hum attitude towards our neighbor and our neighbor's problems. I'll never forget years ago, I was sitting in that corner of this room, paying absolutely no attention whatsoever to a Sunday sermon, when Norm Nagel got into this very same pulpit and suddenly said, "You know, friends, God doesn't want to fill heaven with a bunch of little Jesuses. He already has Jesus. He wants you, warts and all." And that was the beginning of my undoing. We are set free and turned from being weary tourists in this world into joyful pilgrims. Yes, the mercy of God comes to this crippled woman, this prisoner of an evil spirit, this object of a shaming clergy person in the person of Jesus Christ. He comes unasked for, undeserved, and unexpected. He comes not to give this woman back her life, but to give her an entirely new one and to restore her to her community. She's no longer that poor old crippled lady who's had this problem for 18 years. Jesus calls her who she is. She is a daughter of Abraham, an heir of the promises of Abraham, and called through those promises to be a blessing to the entire world. And so are we. For how many descendants were Abraham and Sarah promised? Thousands? Hundreds of thousands? No. Descendants like the stars of the sky, like the sands of the seashore. And after all hell breaks loose and this woman stands up straight, what does she do? She sings. She sings. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Hymn number 886.
People in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of healing, in the community of your people, you gather us in joy and sorrow. As the woman Jesus healed on the Sabbath stood to praise you, so lift us from our self-pity and despair. Lift us into your gracious life. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
O God, bring your healing to the communities where we live. Give us the strength and courage to be healers of the breaches that divide rich and poor, various cultures and religions. Make us healers of our streets and our civic life, that all may live and thrive. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
God of this earth, so many people cry out from hunger and need, from catastrophe and danger. Be with the people of Pakistan in the midst of terrible flooding. Continue your presence with the people of Haiti. Guide those who work to clean the shores and waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Open our eyes to wider reach of your love and make us faithful stewards of our resources and our earth. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
God of this valley, we pray for this village, for all who work here, for all who come here for the refreshment of their lives. Make us faithful proclaimers of all your promises in our words and actions. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
For what else do the people of God pray?
Jane Barron, who is hospitalized, gracious God. For 8 people who have been on staff at Holden or on J term here, and 3 others who have been on staff who this week begin their servant work with Lutheran Volunteer Corps and Urban Servant Corps. Gracious God.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet one another with a sign of peace. page 9, please stand as you are able.
God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. Prepare us now to feast upon your mercy. Jesus Christ, the bread of life.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. And the prayer of thanksgiving are spoken with one amen. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness through the waters, across the wilderness, by night of day, out of exile into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We thank you, O God.
On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way to the table and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We pray for the gift of your Spirit. In your gathering, upon this bread, within this cup, among your people throughout the world, blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, for your mercy through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit in your church without end. Amen. You're invited to pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever words are most familiar and comforting to you. We pray for all things we need in the words Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
table and not our own. All are welcome to the feast of life. Come, for all is prepared. One other word about communion. There is gluten-free bread, if anyone would like that, and they should come to me. I will have that. Come, for all is prepared. Please stand as you are able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus in all whom you call us to love and serve. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy, until at last, with all your saints, we dwell in your unfailing light.
Amen. Holy God, blessed Trinity, strengthen your faith, increase your hope, deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always.
Amen. Amen.
The hymn is number 840, 840.